And we often hear how great God is, and we talk about the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the love of God. But there's something different when you're in the presence of God and singing how great is our God, and your heart is included in it, and your focus is on the Lord. It's like everything around us begins to shift and change, and we're in a different place. And we forget about all that we've been going through, or maybe what we are going through, because our focus is on the Lord. And that's what he talks about when he says to worship me in spirit and in truth. God is spirit and he is truth. So when we're worshiping in spirit and in truth, we are singularly focused on Jesus Christ. We're focused on who he is. And everything else surrounding us begins to fade away, and he becomes the center of our life. That's why worship is so incredibly important. That's why we sing to him. That's why we stay focused on him. And even today, as we start our day with him, that he would be the focus of why we live, why we move, why we breathe. Our time of worship, as we move into our giving. Giving is an act of worship. And for many, you understand that you have been giving, you've been faithful, and you've been saying to God himself, thank you for providing. I want to walk in obedience and give back to you. And as we pray over our tithes and offerings, even for those of you who are online and being faithful, the gospel of Jesus Christ is still being given to people who have yet to find hope. Some of you are at a place where you're learning about what it means to be in this relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're just learning about what giving is all about. The Bible tells us to give with a cheerful heart, not reluctantly, but with a cheerful heart. And what that means is when there's an understanding of why we give, then it comes out of a heart of worship. There are four ways to give, and that's going to pop up. For some of you who are here, we have our tithe boxes in the back, and some of you drop that off there. But these are the ways that we can give. And as we pray, let this be an act of worship to God. Let it not be something financial. Let it be something spiritual, an act of worship to him. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that we have this opportunity to learn from you, to build this relationship with you, to give to you, to walk in obedience. And as we do so, we pray that you would collect these gifts that we're giving to you, these finances, the hearts that are given, and that you'd use it to further your kingdom, because there are so many people who have yet to find you. They're searching, they're looking, and we know where hope lies. It's in you. So we thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all said together, amen. Can we thank our Lord, our Savior, for who he is? Lord, we thank you. And for all that he's going to do today, we are in our series called Community. So before you're seated, just tell someone good morning. Just wave to them. Some of you are online, that YouTube, Facebook, and Church Online. So you can tell someone good morning also in the chat. You're going to have to click that off, yeah, Joe. Hey, Pastor Ben. Good morning.
Good morning.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm here because we get to share some exciting news with everybody here, as well as for those of you who are online, because we do have some really awesome things coming up, such as today we start Operation Christmas Child.
In October,
that's right.
There's a reason, Christmas, though, for that. There's a reason.
Yeah.
You know, we will see Christmas decorations going up already, right, in some of the stores. But the reason why we're bringing this to your attention is because it takes time to put the boxes together. It takes time to collect them and then get them to these children around the world.
That's right. That's what Operation Christmas Child is all about, is where we get to reach kids all over the world and give them through the gift of a shoebox filled with goodies and toys, but we also get to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's amazing, and we get to start it today. So if you're interested, we actually have the boxes available at our information center located outside the fellowship hall right there. We also have them available in our children's ministry, and then also if you're not able to make it, you can actually pick one up from our church office from Tuesday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then our children's ministry, because we just want to continue to give opportunities for those of you who want to partner with us in Operation Christmas Child, they're actually doing a Tuesday night drive-thru where you can pick it up from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay. And you can also build a box online.
That's right.
And there's a list of what to purchase, because we didn't, you just can't put anything in the box. In fact, someone wanted to ship like an Xbox or something, like, or like an iPhone. I'm like, no, this is not, you know, I mean, if you want to get me an Xbox or iPhone, that's separate.
Ship that to my house. I'll give you my address.
Yeah, not your house, my house. So, but the list has, we're fighting over this thing. My goodness, you should just give it up.
That's why we're not giving it to us.
So the list gives us what to purchase, and that's very helpful too.
Yeah, it was really cool. Last year, we actually did this as a family, and so we actually ended up doing 5 boxes for each of our kids, and that was a lot of fun. They had a blast doing it. So It's a really great way for us to share the gospel of Jesus, not just here, but all over the world, and touch the lives of kids. That's what's so awesome about it.
Yeah.
So if you want more information, you can stop by our information center, or you can even go online. There's videos. There's so much information on our website and even on our app.
You drank Red Bull today or something?
just
checking. Just check your pulse. I'm like, okay, and no, got it. Well, so next week
we have something even more exciting. Well, actually, just as exciting.
Just as exciting.
That's right.
You know, we've been working you've been together collectively, working very hard at how we're meeting together and still gathering as a church. Even with water baptism, some of you were wondering, you know, when is the next water baptism? And as you know, with our county, sometimes things change, and that's understandable, safety protocols. But we were approved for water baptism next week.
That's right.
Right,
next week.
And it's going to be at 12:30. And it's because of our service time shifting also that we wanted to do it at an okay time. And if you want to be water baptized, you can
You
get to register. And there are multiple ways to register.
Yep.
We have our information center. Also the app. If you scroll down, I think it's maybe tab number 6 or 7. It just says forms. You click that, then it'll take you to our water baptism form page. You hit click here, and then it'll open up to our form. And then you just put your name and your information so that we can stay connected with you for water baptism. And it is a public confession of your Lord, of your belief in Jesus Christ, of you saying, He is my Lord and Savior, to everyone. That's why water baptism is important. It's a part of when Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teach them everything I've commanded you, and then lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's a part of our belief in Jesus Christ. It's just letting everybody know now. Not just privately when I prayed to him, letting everybody know I believe in Jesus Christ. And something powerful happens when you're water baptized.
Yeah, and it's going to look a little bit different, so be sure to follow all the county guidelines and safety protocols that we have.
Yeah, we're partnering with our county, and we're so thankful that, you know, we can still do things like this. We're partnering with them and making sure all the protocols are in place.
Yeah. So that's next week, and at the end of October, we are having our trunk or treat.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
This is good.
This is where we get to come together, and we're going to have ministries, and people set up their trunks, they're going to decorate it, and they're going to give out candy. In fact, last year, because of the season that we were in, we did it for the very first time, and we had over, I think the count was 288 cars. Mm-hmm. Drive through, and we had over 500 kids that we got to give candy to.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a little bit of candy, it was like bags full of candy.
You know, because you are a giving church and you gave towards that, which we can still do this year, but you got a couple guys went around again. I guarantee. And you try to change car, change face, get out of his car. No, they didn't.
They changed costumes and all.
Yeah. We did that when we were kids. Anyway, so, that is going to happen from 4 to 6 p.m. And we're doing it at a time where, one, it's still a little bright.
Yeah.
But also, there are other things happening in our community that you would want to take your family to, your children to.
It's also school night. So for
it
those who have kids.
Night.
Yeah, right. It's awesome.
And that day, if you want to have a trunk or bring your car and decorate, then you can sign up for that also.
Yeah.
I'm asking like a question. I'm asking, like, right?
They yeah, you can. If you're interested and you want to be part of the trunk or treat, be sure to contact Pastor Lindsey. Lindsey is Linsey at newhopehilo.org, and find out more from her.
Yes.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Is that it?
It was awesome. There's a lot of exciting things. And then, of course, that's just October. We got November and then December.
Christmas coming up. But October is going to be a great month, and we don't want to stop what God is doing in our community. So we keep moving forward, and we do this together. Thank you, Pastor Ben.
Ready? Go get him, Pastor Sheldon.
Appreciate you. And we're in this. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Ben. We are in this series called Community, and when we hear the word community, it can mean so many different things. You know, we're a part of a community. We live in a great community, but the word community that we're using is the believers, the community of believers. And what does that look like? Because this community right here, together collectively, we've been going through some stuff in the past year and a half together. And if this is your first time back to church, welcome home. If this is your first time online, we welcome you. And we get to be a part of a community of believers that God is using in the world today. Don't think you're insignificant. Don't think that, my life doesn't matter or what I do doesn't matter. I just attend. I just attend church and I come to church. I do what I got to do. And then I go off into whatever I'm going to do. No. You're a part of the body of Christ. You got to realize that. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you are living and breathing, you're here, you're still effective in this world. You're still doing great things. And we're going to take a look at some scripture. If you use the app, you can follow along with the notes. And online, if you click that link, it'll take you to our notes. But when we talk about this community, God is going to give us some ways in how we are to, and here's the phrase, keep watch together. And that word together is very important because this is who we are as the body of Christ. Paul the Apostle had it right, and Paul the Apostle came to know Jesus after Jesus died on the cross and then rose from the grave. He was on his way to persecute Christians. He was on his way to throw Christians in prison, and his name was Saul at that time. Well, Saul found himself on the ground. He got knocked off of his horse, and he saw a bright light, vision, and it was Jesus Christ. And that's where he met Jesus, and his life changed. And he was known as Paul after that. Well, Paul, being a religious leader, he knew everything about the laws of God, but he was so far from the heart of God until he met Jesus. Well, Paul said, do not be deceived, or do not be misled. And Paul is training all of the younger ones to birth churches, and he's saying, make sure you're not misled. Now, Paul got that wisdom from a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we're going to learn why Jesus began this way, to keep watch. Because Paul knew as the churches were being birthed, as the churches were flourishing, that there were going to be things that came their way that were not truthful, that would deceive them, that would try to divide them as the body of Christ, so that the gospel would be discredited. That's why Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Their love, their relationship, the way they interacted and the way they loved one another, that's what gave the gospel credibility. It wasn't what was said, it was what was being done with what was being said. In other words, people are going to watch their actions. They were making a statement with what Jesus was saying and what they were saying about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So their lifestyle, their relationship with one another and with God was that which people would verify what they're saying is accurate. That's where credibility comes in. It's not just in the words, it's in the actions. That's why as the body of Christ, we do this together. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12, 26, and 27, that the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together, all of you online together, are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So we all make up the body of Christ. When one member suffers, we all suffer. When one does good, we all do good. If you ever gotten injured, your body compensates for it. So if your ankle is injured, you limp. Why? Because your left, if your left is the good foot, then you're compensating for your right leg, and this leg is taking on now more of the brunt of the walk. Well, if you're not careful, your knee can go out because you're limping because of this leg. That's why we use crutches to help. Now, when you use crutches to help the foot that is not doing well, now your arms are taking on more of the weight. Therefore, the body works together for the part that is injured. And for many of us, we've been injured. We've been walking through this past couple of years, maybe even a lifetime, injured. And this community being brought together is what helps us along. Why? Because when one member is suffering, all members suffer. But when one member is going well, then we all rejoice together. See, the body of Christ is so connected that when you're disconnected, you may not recognize you are. But when you're connected, there's just a fluidity and a unity that takes place, that even though we may have opposing views, even though we have different perspectives, we have one thing in common, and that is our relationship with God and His Word. This is what brings us together. You can have differences. You can have one side that says, even as believers, oh, this is the best president in the world, great policies, things are going well, economy looking good, everything going well. Then you're going to have another side that says, this is the worst ever. You can't think that this is the best. You're going to have both sides as believers. But that shouldn't divide. Why? Because this is what keeps us together, not politics, not belief systems of the world. This keeps us together. It's the Word of God. This is where we come back to. It's okay to have different perspectives. In fact, Jesus had 12 disciples that had different perspectives. He had women follow him that had different perspectives. Men and women have different perspectives. Jesus needed that group of people to have different perspectives. Why? Because everyone in the world will have different perspectives. But what Jesus did so well is he brought so many different kinds of people together. Tax collectors, fishermen, just ordinary people, farmers, he brought them together so that in their different perspectives, they can reach the people who have their perspectives in the hopes that they come to know him and his word. We're always going to live with different perspectives. It'll always happen, but we keep watch together. We can do this together. Did you know as your body has, it's phenomenal how God created us. You will never be able to lick your own elbow. Not that you want to, but it is physically, some of you want to try. You're like, oh, you just can't. When you go home, you can try. Some of you bold enough. And don't lick each other's like, hey, try lick my elbow. I said, lick your own elbow. You can't do that. Nor will your left ear ever meet your right ear, yet they work in unison. And even so much in unison that the science behind hearing is if there's a car that's coming, you can close your eyes and determine if it's coming from left to right or right to left. Why? Because a sound delay in each ear is going to let you know where the car is coming from. They work together even though they have opposing perspectives. That's the body of Christ. We keep watch together. We hear a lot of things, but it's not just hearing a lot of things, it's also watching and keeping our eyes open. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul the Apostle says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So whatever we're planting, whatever, if we're encouraging, we're going to reap encouragement. If we're planting love, we're going to reap that. If we're planting kindness, we're going to reap that. If we're planting unity, we're going to reap that. But if we're planting anything else, discouragement, division, shame, guilt, condemnation, then that's what we're going to reap that. That's why in our very own families, in our marriages, we plant good seeds. Because the two are one now. And so whatever we plant in our marriage is what we're going to reap. I was just talking to a friend, and I was talking about how I returned someone's phone call. And sometimes, you know, when you can't hear on the other end, maybe the connection is bad. And I called back. I said, hey, so-and-so, this is Pastor Sheldon just returning your call. Who this? I said, oh, this is Pastor Sheldon. Who? I don't call nobody. I said, no, I had a number I'm supposed to call back. You left a message for me to call back. Who this again? I said, this is Pastor Sheldon. Oh, Pastor Sheldon, hey, how's it, brother? Hey, how you doing? Hey, long time no see. it changed just like that. Now, I don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Maybe he was having a bad day, but there are things that we go through in our marriages, in our personal life, that it tears at the very core of our being. But there's something that we all have in common as believers, and it is Jesus Christ. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap in our relationships. Now, Paul gets this, don't be misled, from what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 24. And I'll read from verses 3 through 14. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Now, normally when the disciples come to Jesus privately, it's because he said something publicly that they're wondering, what did you mean by that? Like, we have to dig a little deeper, Lord. What do you mean? So they said, tell us, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So Jesus was telling them about end times and what's going to happen and what to look for. And so now they're pressing in. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Now, they didn't ask a question of what to do. They asked a question of when will this happen. Notice Jesus didn't give a date. He didn't say, you know, in the 1600s, that's when you got to keep watch. When will these things happen? Oh, when? When? 2020. It's going to be a train wreck in 2020 for these people. Oh, when, Jesus? When will these things happen? You know, in 1912, this is going to... He gave them the answer that they should have been asking the question of. And he says, let me answer your when question. Do not be deceived. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. So what is a nation? Nationality. Nationalities will rise against nationalities and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We just had one the other day. I was at home and I was like, what just happened? I think it was like in Pahala. There's a like 4 point something. And that's due to our volcano. But there will be earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains, which as men we will never understand. The only birth pain I know is when Heidi was squeezing my hand because she was in pain giving birth. That's the only birth pain. Now there is something, now he continues. He says, these are the beginning of birth pains. So he's not even talking about the actual birth pain. He's using this analogy and he's saying, these are the beginning of birth pains. And what are the beginning of birth pains, women? It's called contraction. Someone said, my man, that's not the beginning of birth pains. It's contractions. So contractions are the beginning of birth pains. When you have a contraction, you know, birth is coming soon. And so when Jesus says, this is just the beginning. We haven't even gotten to the painful part yet. So if we think this is bad, Jesus is saying, you got to endure. You got to stand firm. You got to keep watch together as the body of Christ. This is just the beginning. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. By the way, this is actually happening around the world. Christians are being persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. If people hate you because of Jesus, it's because of Jesus and you love him and you follow him. If people hate you because of who you are and you don't follow Jesus and you're just mean to people, they just hate you because you're mean. But if they hate you because you love Jesus, you follow Jesus, then that's what Jesus is talking about. There's the connection. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. It's interesting that he said many will turn away from the faith. My heart, my prayer, my encouragement, and my hope is that you're not turning away from your faith, but that you're turning to Jesus Christ. You're turning toward faith, that you're not giving up. You're not saying, God, if you were God, then everything would be better. But that you're saying, God, regardless of what is happening, I press in to you. I am not turning away from my faith. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Now, we see this happening. Sometimes within a marriage, a family. The love of most will grow cold. It's almost like people are now standoffish. Like, no, you do what you can do. I don't believe in what you believe in, so no. And you used to get along, you used to love one another, and you're close. But now it's distant and maybe more standoffish. And hopefully we don't fall into that category where our love grows cold. Because that's the hope that God gives to us. It's His love. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Then the end will come. And it almost seems like, oh my goodness, we're doomed. No. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega. So when the end comes for this world, that is our beginning of a new life with Jesus Christ. It is, we have eternal life. We have a brand new beginning because of what Jesus has done. So persevere together. We can do this together. Here's what we learned. The first thing is, watch out that no one deceives you. Now, this is a difficult thing because we live in a world where everything we see and everything we hear is truth. Did you hear about this? What? I saw this on TikTok. Try listen to this. Tell me if this is real. And you listen to it. It sounds so good. It's like, oh, that's true. Guaranteed that's true because that guy don't lie. He no lie. Or we find some website or YouTube video, we share it, we say, but you gotta watch this. This is happening right now. And it may be true, I don't know. All I know is this. Jesus said, watch out that no one deceives you. In other words, don't just listen to things. Be aware of what's happening. Don't be oblivious to what's happening. Don't be ignorant of what's happening around you. Like, look with your eyes. That's why a lot of things don't make sense. We hear one thing, we see something else, we're like, huh, that don't make sense. Why? Because we can see along with hearing. So being deceived, Jesus said, is when you just listen to things, but you don't look with your eyes. Like, you gotta look with your eyes. Watch out that no one deceives you. Not only will you be misled, he says, you're gonna be misled on purpose. So what's the wisdom? Jesus said, keep watch. Keep watch. Don't just listen. Watch what's happening. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, we proclaim concerning the word of life. In other words, John, who's writing this, said, listen, we didn't just hear what Jesus said. We saw him. We saw him in action, and we wrote this down because he's going to ascend into heaven, and I want you to know that we were witnesses, eyewitnesses of what took place. All us as disciples, us 12 disciples, we saw, we wrote this down because we all have different perspectives. And because of those perspectives, even though we had different perspectives, the disciples even grumbled among each other. They argued with one another. They said, no, Jesus said this. No, he said this. Well, no, I'm going to be first. No, you're not going to be first. I'm going to sit at his right hand. You ain't sitting at his right hand. You're a loser. I ain't a loser. You're a loser. And they would fight among each other, and Jesus would come to them, and he said, neither you or you will determine that. My Father in heaven will. Jesus brought it always back to himself. He always brought different perspectives back to his kingdom, back to the Father, back to his word. We can do the same. Then he continues, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, that which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's saying, you want to stand watch? Be careful of darkness that may come your way, because with God, there's no darkness at all. Watch out that no one deceives you. And then Jesus also said, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. He said, there are things that are going to come your way. Just don't be alarmed. You know, our children, when they're little, sometimes they'll become alarmed. Why? Because they may have had a nightmare. Maybe they're scared. And in the middle of the night, you will find them next to you in your bed. Why? Because they're fearful of something. My grandson, Oakley, the youngest one, when we were on vacation, I found him in my bed with Heidi and I next to me. And the next day, I said, hey, Oakley, why'd you jump in the bed? He said, I had a nightmare. Like, he's 8 years old. I had a nightmare. I said, tell me about the nightmare. And he told me it. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty interesting nightmare. And he didn't want, like, our room was next to his. His dad's room was across the kitchen. God forbid he had to walk across the kitchen in the middle of the night. So what did he do? He found the nearest comfort. And when Jesus said, don't be alarmed, the reason why he could say that is because he is our nearest comfort. He said, don't be alarmed. You're going to find comfort in me. Now, if we look at our world, are bad things happening in our world? Absolutely. Yeah, bad things are happening. Are people getting sick? Yes. Are people dying? Yes. Sad to say. Is the economy in bad shape? Maybe. Are political views disparate? Yeah. Are we living in uncertain times? Yeah. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but we've always been living through bad news. Just check our history books. Just think back in our life. There's always been bad things happening. We've just never experienced this type of bad thing. There's a thing called sin that has been inside of us ever since the beginning of mankind. It's always with us. Sin has always separated us from God. That's the worst news. What we've been going through this past couple of years, or you know, year and a half or so, horrible news. But no sickness or disease can separate us from the love that is in God. The love that God gave to us through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And as bad as it is, it gets worse. It almost seems like, what? I came to church to hear good news. There is. The good news is that we are the body of Christ. We are different than what the world is going through. We have a different perspective. As believers, we have the best news in the world because we have this relationship with God. Don't be deceived. Don't be alarmed. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, it almost seems like Jesus is saying you need to be afraid of God. What he is saying is, if you're going to be afraid of anything, be afraid of the one who is able to send both body and soul to hell, because when you turn your life over to him, he won't do that. So if anyone's going to give you comfort, don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid of what's happening. Turn to God. Why? Because he actually has the authority to do what you're afraid would happen to you, that he won't do, because you turned your life over to him through Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient. His love is eternal. And his power is limitless. So why wouldn't we turn towards God? Don't be alarmed. Turn towards Him. We find comfort in Jesus together as His community. We do it in so many different ways, not just gathering together like this. Some of us have small groups, Bible studies, devotional groups, which means we read the Word of God and we devote that time to Him. We pray together. We journal together. I do it with a bunch of guys on Friday morning at 7:30. And all we do is we read the bookmark that takes us through the Bible in a year. And then we journal. And then we share. And then we pray together. Probably spend an hour together. And if you want to be a part of that, just let us know. And we can definitely connect you with one of our groups. If you want to start one, I'd suggest just start one. We can help you with that too. Come to our resource center. We can resource you. And be a part of a smaller community. It's in that group where when there's an alarm that takes place, we find comfort together in Jesus Christ. We do this together. And then the last thing, we stand firm together. We stand firm together. We are still here as a church meeting together because we are standing firm together. Our staff, our volunteers are standing firm in the faith. Knowing the risks, we still do what we're doing. And the gospel continues around the globe. You know, when it comes to war and when it comes to, even in the Bible times, when they would go off into war, they would always have to encourage each other to do this together. Don't go alone. And here's why. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30, it says, "How could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight unless their rock has sold them, unless the Lord had given them up?" It's an interesting mathematical equation. Wait a minute, one person can chase 1,000 of them? Yes. And you're saying two can chase 10,000? Yes. That don't add up. I thought one chases 1,000. Yes. So 1 + 1 = 2. So 1,000, 2,000. So shouldn't two people put 2,000 to flight? No, it's not how it works in the kingdom of God. Why? Because there's exponential power when there's more than one person. Because where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in their midst. So the power doesn't come from us together. It comes from us standing firm together in Him. That's why we're still here as the church. We have wonderful volunteers. You've been giving. You've been attending. You've been saying, "I'm going to build my relationship with God. I'm going to continue strong because whatever is going to happen, I know in the end we win. So I'm going to stay strong. I'm going to stand firm." You make a big difference. You may think, "Well, I attend church so that I can, you know, I'll get in the Word, and then, or I'm going to attend church because that way I don't feel guilty later, or I got to come to church because she told me, I have to come to church because he said, or our family does this together." Whatever the reason, you're here. Let me tell you why that makes a difference in the world. Because what you're catching right now, even online, is going to be in you. And make no mistake, when you go out into the world with your family, around your friends, wherever you are, when the Spirit of the Lord speaks, in those moments, you're going to shine as His light in that community where you are. It will happen. Or you're going to sense it. And that's why we do this together, because I remember when I was first coming to know the Lord, I wasn't as bold to make decisions. And I had a hard time. And I remember we were at a hotel room and we had this party, and one of my friends put on one of these movies that was bad. And I was like, "Oh man." And Heidi was there with me, and I don't think we were married yet. And I said, "You know what? We can't watch this." And we battled with it, and Heidi was like, "Yeah, we can't stay here." And I told my friends, I was like, I gotta go. And they're like, "Huh, what? What's the matter?" I said, I kind of watched this. They're like, "What? What do you mean you kind of watched this?" I was like, "Yeah, I don't watch this." And they said, "So what you gonna do? You gonna leave?" I said, "Yeah." They're like, "You know, we'll go turn them off. We just turn it off." I was like, "That's up to you guys. I mean, that's just for me." And it was a pornographic movie. And I said, I can't be here. And we're going to church at that time. It's like the Spirit of God said, "This is not you." And in that community of friends, that was our influence without condemning. It was just us saying, for us, this is not, it's not, something wasn't sitting right. You know how it is when you have the Spirit of God in you and things aren't sitting right? He's speaking something. Don't be deceived. Don't be misled. When that happens, listen and watch what's happening and make those decisions. This is why we still do what we do. We have a kitchen crew that's making breakfast. We have people in the well that's making things. We have our camera crew, the sound technicians. We have so many people working behind the scenes so that the gospel can go around the world, so that we can keep watch together. People have been giving faithfully. Staff families have been making sacrifices so that their family members can be serving, so that the gospel can be preached. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul the Apostle gives us the armor of God, but there's something in here that we cannot miss. And he starts with saying, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand." That's the word we want to focus on. Stand against the wiles of the devil. It's that armor that Paul is saying, you're going to need this. I mean, we use armor all the time. In football, some of your teams are playing today. They have gear. They make sure they have a helmet. You play Fortnite, you better drink that thing so that you have extra whatever power that is. You play COD or COD Mobile, you have more armor so that when you're getting hit, you survive. So you stay strong and you stand strong. Why? Because you're getting hit. You're taking hits. You're getting blasted from all different directions. And Paul says, you gotta be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I heard someone say this, "I take on the devil." I'm like, "Well, you don't wanna do that." The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say, go attack the devil. It says, just stand firm. Why? Because he's defeated. Don't waste your energy on the enemy. He has no power nor authority over you. And you definitely have better armor than he has. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So you know when you're grumbling against someone else, it's not against them. It's not against their perspective. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which guards your heart, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which means you bring peace everywhere you go. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. In other words, fiery darts are always coming our way. Why? Because we're the target. If you don't have the shield of faith, if you turn away from your faith, you're getting hit every single day from these fiery darts that come from the enemy, the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, which guards your mind, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I can't tell you how incredibly important being in the Word of God is. This is the only offensive weapon we have in the armor of God. This is all we got. I mean, you can try and beat the enemy down with the shield or kick him with your feet, but the Word of God is what defeats the enemy. No weapon formed against you will prosper. We have our sword, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. In other words, we keep going. As difficult as it is, as hard as it is, we keep going. Perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, Paul is saying. He's saying, please do this for me too. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is writing these words while he is in prison. If Paul can put this together while being in prison, encouraging us to put on the full armor of God while in prison, how much more should we armor up with the armor of God as we head out into the world, as we are in our families, as we get opposing views and different perspectives? How do we still, as the body of Christ, keep watch together? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. I want to give some of you an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is the helmet of salvation. Without salvation, our head is exposed in battle. And even for those of you who are online. And if that's you and you're saying, I want Jesus in my life. I want to give my life to God. I want to surrender to Him. I'm going to say a prayer. And as you say this prayer, it's your prayer to God. And here it is. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising from the grave to give me eternal life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I surrender it all to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord God, I pray for all of us today that as we stand firm, as we keep watch together as the body of Christ, that we would bring hope, not just into our own lives from you, but into our families, into our marriages, into our communities that we're in, and even our smaller communities as a church. You're the hope that many people are looking for. So as a community, Lord, help us to bring that into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. Let's welcome all these that said yes into the kingdom of God, even for those of you who are online. If you did say yes to Jesus, in our fellowship hall, there's a wall that you'll see yes next to our resource center. And there you'll be able to receive a free gift. It's a Bible, some reading material that will help you with your walk with Jesus. Let someone know you received Christ. That is the best decision you'll ever make, and it's an eternal one. And for those of you online, click that link. It'll help you as you take your journey with Jesus Christ. God bless you guys. Have a beautiful day, and hope to see you next week or online. And for some of you, you might get baptized. So have a good day. Have a good week. We'll see you soon.